You ready for the word? Are you ready for the word? Lift one hand and say, with our Father, the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive the ministry of your Spirit by the teaching of your word. In this service, we receive accuracy and insight into Jesus your Son. Together as a church, we hold Jesus Christ your Son, even as he sees us in him. He is glorified as we are edified. Amen. Looking at being filled or filled with the Spirit. Matthew's Gospel 28. I'll read very quickly. Matthew's Gospel 28. Hallelujah. Verse 18. And he came and said to them, all authority, which is the word power, is given me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples. Which is to make students, train people, mathetes. That's where we have the word matetuo, to make interns, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Now, Mark 16:15, I'm going to say a few things I said in the second service, because there was an overflow somewhere that I want to fill up. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18, they shall take up serpents. If you drink and death, shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall recover. Verse 19, so then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was lifted up to heaven and sat on the right hand. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, them with his eyes, and confirming the word with signs following. Then he says, amen. Now, John's Gospel 20, verse 21. And then said Jesus to them again, peace unto you, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now, Luke's gospel gives us a background of how he did this. You know, we assume that Jesus just got up and he's talking from his head. No. Luke lets us know that Jesus all the while, all along, is teaching from the scriptures. Genesis through to Malachi. In verse 25-27, and he said to them, "Who fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now I told you that that is fact specific, right? That's not all inclusive. Okay. But in 44, he said, "These are the words that I said to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Verse 45, then he opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Now, 45, the word understand the scriptures is the word suniemi, S-U-N-I-E-M-I. Two words together, son, S-U-N together, then nohema, N-O-E-M-A. Now, one thing you notice there is there's a sequence of thoughts. Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Moses and the prophets. Now, in the first service, the second service, and I want to go over it again, there are certain times like that, and it's good to be well taught, and to be very taught, well, very taught. That's my grammar, right? It's good to be well, very taught, very well taught. Okay, syntax. You know, and I was talking about the Matthew 19, where Jesus, they brought the commentary to Jesus about marriage. But there was something more that was in that question. And I was trying to let us see how Jesus taught. You know, we've spoken about the didache. We talked about the teaching that there is didaskalia, the body of beliefs. Then we have didache. Didache is how you teach. Now, Jesus, obviously, from the synoptic, taught in that sequential order. Genesis, through to the first five books of Moses, then but when you say scriptures, right? When you say scriptures, you are referring fundamentally to the first five books, the Torah. When Paul says to Timothy, from a child you have known the Torah, Hebrew, scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ. So all the prophets were prophets of the scriptures. No prophecy of the Torah, prophecy of the scriptures. So the first five books are legitimately the foundational scriptures, all the scriptures. Look at John 5:39. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. There they will testify of me. You will not come to me that you may have life. Now, I'll assume that he's talking about Genesis to Malachi. Yes, but technically no. Because the conversation in 45, but think not, I'm come to accuse you before the Father. That's the conversation. There is one which accuses you, Moses, whom you trust. So, if he mentions scriptures in 39 and 40, grapho, then what is he referring to? Who is the personality? 46. Had you believed his writings, you will have believed me. Grapho. For he wrote concerning me. Had you believed Moses, sorry, you will have believed me. For he wrote. So, the verb of the scriptures is in Moses. He wrote. You do not believe my words, or you don't believe me because you never believe his words. Gamma, content. And as I taught you before, there's an interdependence of scripture or text, which means every text of the Old Testament is referring to each other. Isaiah read Moses, David equally. I showed them in the second service, when David said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand, then he mentions, when he says right hand, is it in Genesis, where Jacob blessed with the right hand? Then he says, I've sworn, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, which means he's reading Genesis. So, they are prophets of the scriptures. Of the scriptures. So, Jesus followed that pattern of explaining truth via Moses. Now, pay attention somewhere. So, in Matthew 19, when they ask that question, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now, Jesus now said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Now, I taught this during the week, during the classes we had, that the term beginning refers to both writings and events. Not a start without a prior action or something that hadn't happened before. For example, in John 8:44, where he says Satan was a liar at the beginning. He killed at the beginning. That happened in Genesis 4. But it's called the beginning. So the term beginning refers to a writing more than just events. So I was saying this in the second service, that's why I want to just elaborate. So when they said that, it says, he that made them at the beginning made them male and female. Now, made them what? Male and female. What does that mean? That is the image of God. You have to go back to that text. Genesis 1:26-28. The Selem of God. T-S-E-L-E-M. The image of God. That would therefore mandate you to read the text after. Replenish, be fruitful, multiply. Which means that even though you are referring to marriage between male and female, which we could say was instituted from chapter 2:18-24. It says there is a beginning, and we say that's the new beginning, the new creation. It says, therefore, shall cleave to his wife because of Genesis 1:26-28. For that cause, Jesus therefore reads the two chapters together. For that cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one. So the focus is male and female are same in the image of God. Now, listen carefully, because at the root of the divorce culture is the woman as the second class man. Jesus goes to what God is correcting. That in his mandate, he gives it to his image, and in his image, it is male and female. So, Jesus therefore says, whatever God has, there are no more twin but one flesh. That is, marriage is meant to reflect something. So whatever God has joined together, where did he join it together? In his image. Whatever God has joined together, which is the word suzeugnomi, S-U-Z-E-U-G-N-U-M-I. Whatever God has joined together in his image, let no man put asunder. Jesus is dealing with the status of the woman in the kingdom of God in the gospel. That will affect the way wives are treated, no doubt, but it deals with a bigger issue, a societal thinking, a societal problem. Let me see if you are following what I'm saying here. A societal issue. Because in the culture of putting away the wives, women were treated like chattel. Of course, Moses, because of the hardness of their heart, gave them a bill of divorcement. Okay, treat her with some honor. Jesus is saying, there's something bigger than that. The Genesis mandate, not just about marriage here, the Genesis mandate is male and female. Which means, I mean, just add this briefly, in the priesthood of the new creation, of the new beginning of God's new heaven and earth, a woman is a priest. A woman is a priest. That's what Jesus deals with here. So Jesus deals with a greater issue. Whatever God has joined together in himself, in his new creation, and we see that flow into Exodus 19 verse 5. He says, you are a peculiar people for me above all the earth. He says, a kingdom of priests. You are a kingdom, a holy nation. And he included women. How come in the Aaronic priesthood there were no women? Because of what? The hardness of their heart. So women were so treated because of the hardness of men's heart. Jesus deals with a greater problem than just divorce. Moses suffered you because of the hardness of your heart. So therefore, we said earlier in the first service, in the second service, pardon me, that Jesus therefore treats the root of the problem. The root of the problem is tohu wa bohu, without form and void, Genesis 1-2, which refers to a people. The Genesis audience is who? Who's Genesis audience? The Exodus people. So, the Exodus people were already entrenched in Egypt, in their thinking and in the way they're doing it. Idolatry, chauvinistic, and then that had caused cultural challenges from Canaan that had fertility gods, where you have women saying, no, we're not going to take it. You have to worship the woman. So, there was that distortion. Some went to the women are to be worshipped. They represent the God or the gods or idols. So, they said, no, it's the man. Moses said, no, it's male and female created he them in his new creation. So God takes, he does it in his righteousness, he puts it right, that distorted view of male and female. He said, so marriage is meant to be a lower illustration of it. That's why Paul, in exploring that text, in Genesis Ephesians 5, said, you are a member of Christ's body, of his flesh and bone. I speak concerning Christ and the church, but let's talk about marriage. So he talks about Christ and the church is reflected in marriage. So which means Genesis 1:26-28 is about Christ and the church. And male and female are found in that. physical marriage is meant to reflect it. God's marriage is reflected by man's marriage. In God's marriage, male and female are in the image of God. So in God's new creation, and we see, even up till Paul's day, they still battle that problem. They battle the problem. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul had to give an instruction that I will not permit a woman to usurp authority over the man. I will not permit a woman to usurp authority over the man. And this has been misused as well. The word usurp is the word otenten. Two words. It means to bear arms. To fight with an armor. He's not talking about preaching. I suffer not the woman, 1 Timothy 2. I suffer the woman to teach, referring to usurp authority. A violent exertion of views and opinions. Why? This is Ephesus. Ephesus is where he writes this. Or he writes this too. Timothy's in Ephesus. What's going on in Ephesus? Let's find out. Acts 19. Verse 27. I'll start from 26. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone in Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying, there be no gods which are made with hands. You know, what he faces with the Jews is different from Ephesus. Now, look at what happened in Ephesus. So that not only these are craft is in danger to be set at naught. Let's slowly read 27, the B part. But also, I'm waiting for you. But also, that the temple of the great goddess Diana, are you following? Should be despised. And her magnificence, go on, should be destroyed. Whom all Asia and the world worship. 28. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out saying, great is Diana of the Ephesus. So that means there was a female idol, which exerted, and that already influenced the culture. And Paul says, I forbid you to be influenced by idols. I suffer not a woman, I don't allow it, to usurp authority. This is talking about in the family. People think it's church. No. That is why the narration he gave was Adam and Eve. But to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if she continues in faith. So there's childbearing also requires God. Just marriage is what is in view. Or in the culture of Diana, historically speaking, had influenced how the women folk were behaving in the homes. It's not what Paul is not saying women shouldn't preach. That's absolutely preposterous. He wasn't saying that. In 1 Corinthians 14, 26, he says, when you come together, male and female, every one of you has a doctrine and instruction. Let all things be done to edify. A prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 11, 4, it says a woman that prays or prophesies. Where is she prophesying? In the church. Is he talking to women? No, she's talking to the church. In Romans 16, the whole chapter is filled with Paul's associates, fellow laborers, who are women. In fact, very critically, in Romans 16, verse 1, Paul takes the letter. His most, I don't want to use detailed, but I think it's his most detailed letter to Rome, 16 chapters, where he explains the cause of the gospel, God's righteousness, justification, just about everything you find there. He gives it to Phoebe and calls her a minister of the church. He gives the letter to a woman. And the woman is meant to explain the content to the church. That means Paul does exactly what Jesus did in John 20. Jesus rose from the dead, and the first person he explains the gospel to is a woman. And he says, go and tell my brethren. Go and tell them. Go and explain this to them. And for you to know what they were battling in Luke 24, how did they classify it? He said in Luke 24, verse 11. In 10, it says, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of Joseph, and all the women that were with them, which told these things to the apostles. They were not just talking, they were explaining. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. So Jesus passed across his resurrection from the scriptures to women, they passed across to the men, and they called it idle tales. Because in their culture, women were not responsible witnesses. In Matthew 28, same thing. Go and tell his disciples. Verse 7. Go and tell the disciples. So they went to teach the disciples. They went to tell them. Mark 16. Mark 16. Go your way. Verse 7. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before them. The women. Verse 11. When they had heard that he was alive and been seen of her, they believed not. So all along, when Jesus scolded them for not believing, he scolded them for not believing what the woman preached. Mark 16, 14. Luke 24, 25. John 20. So I told them in the second service that the gospel is a wider narrative. God is doing a governmental work. He's changing how we think about men. And that includes the woman. So that's why John said, in the first day of the week, the first evening being the first day of the week, it was a woman at the new creation. So the new creation corrects that distortion of views. The new creation, Genesis 1, 26, 28, mandate, he's been restored, male and female. Paul corrects it. In Romans 16, calls a woman an apostle. In verse 7, Junia, we had Priscilla and Aquila. We had all of that. And I believe next couple of months we're going to have another book about women. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, in the cultures, even till now, some of us see women and, you know, we feel, it's just that. Maybe sin nature. But in the image of God, he says it's male and female. And when redemption takes place, afterwards said God, I'll pour out of my spirit, Joel 2:28, upon what? All flesh. And he specifically said, upon your sons and daughters, the Genesis mandate. Upon the handmaids and the male servants, Genesis mandate. Moses said, who to God, Numbers 11, 28, 29, that all his people were prophets. Now, you can imagine why Jesus didn't choose a woman as one of the apostles. When even his own apostles doubted women. A prevailing culture. But he raised them. He trained them. He taught them. He taught them. In Luke 10, we see a woman by the name of Mary who sat also among the disciples. And she's learning the gospel, learning ministry. In John 4, a woman went to Samaria with the gospel of Jesus. In Luke 15, in the parables about the lost sheep, he included a woman. Why is he including women? At the cross of Christ, when the men fled, the women were there. So when you say denied, the women did not deny. Can I have an amen? That's a very critical part of the gospel. So, if God is working the new creation through Jesus, It also includes how women are seen. God doesn't just restore the dignity of the woman. In the new creation, He restores her to her office. The office of a priest, the office of a teacher of the gospel, a preacher of the gospel, a shepherd over God's flock. All this we'll treat in the coming days. Something clear to you? Is that clear to you? So that Matthew 19 takes care of a cultural deficiency. Jesus said, it's the hardness of the heart that makes you think that way. Moses said so because of the hardness of your heart. But at that beginning, the arche of God, the genosios, it was not so. So therefore, we begin to learn how to interpret scriptures as disciples. And I said that to us, that when we read the synoptic accounts or the epistles, we read together with where? With what? Genesis to where? Malachi. We read them together. So, what does it mean to be a disciple? Matthew 28, verse 18 to 19. 19 is to be instructed. To be instructed. In Matthew 13:52. Matthew 13:52. Every scribe which is instructed. That's the word disciple. Instructed. Matthew 27. And 67. 57, sorry. Joseph, who was himself instructed. So discipleship is being taught and being humble to learn in spite of your age, your status, or your wealth. Joseph was a rich guy, Matthew 27:57. The scribes had their status in the society. They are known to be religious leaders, Matthew 13:52. In Acts 14:21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, they had taught many. So discipleship, is discipleship strong on teaching? Huh? Teaching. Disciple is someone that you teach. He's being taught. How do you teach him? You teach him the method of Jesus' interpretation. That's why in Acts 2:42, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' mode of teaching. Jesus had a mode of teaching. So he warned them in Matthew 16:12 of the mode of teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. There's a mode of teaching, I said in the first service. One of the things about it is that they always leave scriptures, how? Out of context. Don't have that knowledge. I've told you before, and I keep telling you, when you say the Bible says, what does that mean? Huh? When you say the Bible says, do you refer to one verse? You have to go through the whole Bible. The whole Bible. On any issue whatsoever. The Bible says it's the whole Bible. Even though a text might be your anchor text, but you must explain the whole Bible. Am I in Bible school? Yeah, church is Bible school. Church is Bible school. Amen. So there's a mode of teaching. So he warned them of that interpretation where you leave scriptures out of context. You just go to Psalm 32. Hey! The God arise, Psalm 68. And his enemies be scattered. The God arise and his enemies be scattered. The God arise and his enemies be scattered. The God arise. So I say, all the enemies of the people of God, they will perish in the sea. And then he say, who? Enemies of the, is it Nigeria, no? Is it Nigeria? People are, yes. By the virtue of my being here, they have become the people of God. If you understand what God was doing through Israel, you will not use that scripture foolishly. So when you say the Bible says, It must be a function of painstaking, deliberate, detailed study of Scripture. No one should be rushed. Look at that Enoch. When Enoch looked at one text, you know that Enoch in Acts 8 was reading Isaiah 53. No doubt. But you know, by the time he was, how you will know what Philip did to that experience when he was done? Isaiah 53. Then the guy said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That was not Isaiah 53. That means that Philip took him through the scriptures. Then he says, let's look for what I want to be baptized. That means he read the Exodus to him. From one verse, they went through the Bible together. That is how to win souls. Is that very clear? And disciple people. Do follow what I'm saying here. That's how to win souls. So, here we are. We said, the mode of teaching. So, in Romans 6:17, Paul says, it's that form of doctrine that was delivered to you, that was how you got saved. In Romans 16, verse 17, it says, be careful for those, avoid those who teach otherwise. Who teach otherwise. There's something about being well taught. You might be called arrogant at some point, because people will call you arrogant. When you say, well, that's not true. What do you know? And they say, that's not true. And you know, some ask me, I remember I went for one tutorial class then. I just left secondary school. And so the guy wrote something on the board. I said, it's wrong, sir. You know, now I look back. He said, who spoke? I said, I did. He said, come and tell us. I just went there. I first of all cleaned everything he wrote. Then I re-explained it. You know, I didn't ask him, I just went to sit down. So he said, which school are you from? I said, GCI, Government College Ibadan. I said, wow, that's a good school. So then I asked him, what do we do? He said, copy it. You know, what an interesting experience. And then pride entered my heart from that day. I stopped listening to the man. Right. Anyway, what was I? Sometimes when you say, no, that's not true. People get, ha. Remember one time like that, I was in a conference, 1994. And it's a conference of an Orthodox church. So I was invited to also speak. So it was like a Bible study session. So the woman was saying, she said, John 3:5, being born of water and the Spirit, that you have to be baptized in water and all of that and all that. And then I said, do you understand everybody? And I said, no. I was sitting in front. I said, no. So what do you mean? I said, you are not correct. So I was like, look at this. I said, let me explain. So when I explained it, she said, oh, you are correct. You get it? So sometimes, you know, when you are taught, you may appear arrogant, but you are not. You have a duty to avoid what is wrong. Paul says, avoid them. And don't say, well, everybody is... No. You should... One of the fruits of growth is that you discern. It's only a baby that puts everything in his mouth as food. Is that very clear? It's only a baby that does that. When you grow up, you know what to avoid. In Romans 16:17, it's just like that. So which means there's teaching, alright? So let's look at a few things now. Teaching, what are we taught to do? We are taught to mirror and reflect Christ in His character and in His ministry. In Mark 16:15, it says, go and preach. John 20:23, whoso ever since you remain. It means we now take the place of Jesus. Jesus has given us His authority to act in His stead. Because in Luke 5, is the one that has the authority to forgive sins. Luke 5:24. The Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. Luke 5:24. But he now gives us that authority by the virtue of preaching. We, like the song we sang, we carry the fragrance of the good news. We are not the ones that carry his fragrance. We are represent, that's the word image, that's what image means. To represent. Image, celeb, is what represents deities. So, God's representation is male and female. God's representation, the celeb, or call it the icon, in the Greek, or the character, Hebrews 1:3, is male and female. So we are now that image. We bear image. So an image is a responsibility status. You reflect the character, the vision, the purpose of God. And it's male and female. That's what Paul says, neither male nor female. So now we're in that image. We're also called ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20. The Greek word is presbyteris or something. I forgot. But it's under the word presbyteros. We are like the elders of Israel. We stand as his representations. We are called the ministers of reconciliation. Verse 18 and 19. So we are the righteousness of God in him. Verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5. We put things right in Christ Jesus. A ministry. We preach it, 2 Corinthians 4:5. Ministers of the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 3:5 and 6. So, salvation makes you God's minister. Hallelujah. Anybody in the image of God here? Let me see your hand. That image is the body of Christ, right? Is that the body of Christ? The ecclesia. Now, when they use ecclesia, for example, ecclesia called church, the Jews knew church, they call it house of assembly, where in nations they are found, the synagogue, any nation they are found, they now build what you call a church, a synagogue, is to teach their own laws, culture, and to influence that society with it. So the word church is a legislative governmental word. Legislative governmental word. So Paul picked it also, ecclesia, called out, equally used for a legislative arm of government. An arm of government. So church is governmental. The church of Jesus Christ is his governmental people. People that are in his kingdom. So if you are in the image of God, you're a new creature in Christ. If you are in his likeness, a new creature in Christ, you have a ministry. We have a work, we have work to do. Luke 10:19, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. So we have work to do. I didn't hear you. We have work to do. Anyone in the new creation here? Anyone in his righteousness? Ministry of Reconciliation? His ambassador? That means we have work to do. He calls us ministers of the New Testament. Diakonia. Kainos. Diateke. We are ministers of this new covenant. We are ministers. We are ministers. Don't say, I'm not in the ministry. You are in the ministry. If you are in Christ, you are in his image and likeness, you are already in the ministry. All the disciples of Christ have been trained for ministry. Trained to preach, teach, reflect the character of Jesus, his ministry, and his power. We're looking at filled with the Spirit. So in the teaching of Jesus, what we call the doctrine of Christ, he teaches about the Spirit. Acts 1:4, wait for the promise of my Father, which you have heard of me. For John baptized with the Holy Ghost, with water, For many days ends, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost has come on you. So in learning the gospel, we also learn the person and ministry of the Spirit. John 14:16-17. I pray the Father, and He will send you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive. John 14:26. He will come in my name. He says He will bring to your remembrance whatever I've said, the Comforter which is the Holy Ghost. John 15:26 again, or 16 now. John 15:16. He says, He will testify of me. He proceeds from the Father. John 15:26. He will testify of me. John 16:7 through to verse 16. So the ministry of the Spirit is in discipleship. We must learn the ministry of the Spirit. If I hear this, the way we carry out the mission of Jesus Christ in the world is by His Spirit. It's by His Spirit. So how does it work? It says, make disciples. How do you make disciples? Matthew 28:19. So, discipleship, is to be taught. And also, there's some a part of it I'm going to show you in a moment. It also means to catch it. To receive it. So discipleship is both knowledge and experience. There's an experience of the Holy Ghost. There's the indwelling of the Spirit, John 14:15-16. And there's the experience of the Holy Ghost. I was going to say this earlier. So in discipleship, and that's something about when you teach people. In Mark 3:14, Mark says that Jesus chose the 12 that they might be with Him. Because there are things to watch, things to see. In Acts 1:21, Luke writes that Peter, when he was going to pick someone to replace Judas, he said, one who was with us all of the time, from the baptism of John till they were taken up from among us, said, who was with us all the time? So discipleship includes physical interactions. Teaching, and that's the difference between church. Someone said, can't we have church online? Church can be done online. You can pass information across online. See? But the correct teaching, application, and demonstration is in physical interactions. That's why Jesus said about the Holy Ghost, John 14:17, He is with you and shall be in you. Which means that they had seen the Holy Ghost on Jesus. He is with you and shall be in you. So you have a duty, those of us who disciple, all of us should, to take people through experiences. He is with you and shall be in you. In Acts 10:41, Peter said, we ate and drank with Jesus. Acts 10:41. So discipleship includes to train for practical ministry. To train for practical ministry. When I got born again, some few weeks ago, I was led to Christ about 10:35 a.m. in the morning. Got born again. Got filled with the Holy Ghost, let's say 15 minutes after. It was less than that, really. I sound like Brother Tokes now. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. And the guy said, I'm coming to come and take you in the evening to go for evangelism. I didn't know what evangelism was. So he said, let's go. Took me, If I showed some brethren that spot from last year, I showed them, this is the spot where I called it in my whole life. So he said, watch me do it. So we sat down. I saw him preach. I just got born again in the morning. In fact, between the morning and the afternoon, I lost my salvation. Because I felt, am I still saved? I just got angry now. I just said stuff. I mean, then he says, I should come and preach. So I was first battling in my mind, hey, I hope God will not say, who are you? So I sat there. I saw him preach. I saw I opened his Bible. I saw what he did. And I had this green RSV. Green. That they drew the map of Nigeria. What's in that Bible for? The map of Nigeria. That was the Bible I first used for evangelism. Can I go and get it? So I began to share. He sat away and watched me say, you know, God really loves you. You know, we all do bad things. Even me today, I've done bad things. You know, that's one of the things you learn in discipleship. It's a life event. It's a life event. Hallelujah. It's a life event. I still do it once in a while, but so many of your pastors, when they were younger, I'll pick their church notes and see how they were taking notes. That's part of it. I feel like I'm in the cell leaders conference already. Praise the Lord. So you take them out in ministry. Jesus called the 12, then he sent them out. They had been with him, Matthew 4, Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7, Matthew 8, 9. By Matthew 10, he sends them away. So, there is that practical aspect of ministry. Just like Moses and Joshua. What is it for? We're about to see it. Moses and Joshua. Look at Exodus. Joshua is Moses' disciple. Exodus 24. Verse 13. Moses rose up and his minister. His minister. His disciple. His minister. Exodus 32. And verse 17. So, he was with Moses all the time. Now, did you notice that when Joshua got in, Lord kept telling him, as I was with Moses. Remember that? So I'll be with you. That means he had practical experiences. So I will be with you. As I was with Moses. So discipleship includes to be with. For what reason? We'll see it in a moment. In Deuteronomy chapter, Numbers 27, verse 18, take thee, Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. Notice this now. It's going to make sense here. Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. And lay hands upon him. And said him before. So he laid hands on a man in whom is the Spirit. So go to Deuteronomy 34. Let's read verse 9. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. Are you there? I'll wait for you. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. Are you there? Let's go. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. Why? Moses had laid his hands on him. So, discipleship also includes laying on of hands. Ministering to the person. Ministering. So, which means discipleship includes to be taught and also to catch. I told you there are things that can be taught. There are things that can only be caught. They can only be caught. and minister to them the word because I've been in meetings. I caught it. They can be caught. Things can be taught and they can be caught. Look at Elijah and Elisha. He said, if you see me, if you see me. And in 2 Kings chapter 2. So I pray thee, let there be a double portion of your spirit, verse 9, upon me. Double portion doesn't mean times two. Double portion is an idiom for taking over responsibilities. Firstborn. One who bears responsibility. As they talked, chariot of fire, horse of fire. And what did Elijah tell him? He said, is that the never, if you see me, if you see, you know, there's no amount of ways we can write it. We can't have that experience. He's the one who had it. That's why don't miss meetings. Is that very clear? There are things you get by audio recording. There are things you can never get. Don't miss meetings. Don't miss meetings. Don't do it at all. Be there. God works in atmospheres. So if you see me, if you see it, then I can tell you this. Many of the things that help us in ministry, are a function of things rubbing off on us. One of the things I learned very early, 1993, at Rema Chapel, Rio Leba, and I will never forget this. Reverend Victor Adeyemi was a pastor. He began to teach a series on the anointing. And I made sure I didn't miss one session. Not one. Then he said something about the corporate anointing. Anointing without, anointing within. He said, anointing upon. He said, it rubs off on you. It rubs off on you. Things will rub off. So when you see people, even you, it's not just a function of knowledge that you're doing things. Things rubbed off on you. You caught something. Interestingly, you can also catch an evil spirit. That's as terrible as it is. You can also catch a very wrong character trait. But that's not our focus today. So Elijah caught something. Same as Joshua, right? Huh? Look at Eli and Samuel. As funny as it is, Eli is supposed to be the bad guy. The guy that, you know, when you open Twitter, they're talking about him. When you open Facebook, he's the one they're talking about. People are saying, what's the guy? The guy doesn't know how to take care of his family. See his children. They're sleeping with the girls on the altar. They're taking all the tithes and eating it. They're just messing up the temple. But God doesn't read news. Some of the things that God subscribes to news to and say, You mean it. You don't mean it. And God is saying, oh my God. For Samuel, God wants to talk to Samuel. He uses the voice of Eli. He uses his voice. And notice something. Samuel's response was given to him by Eli. Say, he said, when he calls you, say, verse 9, speak, Lord, for your servant here. You can learn the things of the Spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? You can learn it. He says, say. Glory to God. You can learn it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You can learn it. Glory, 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 glory. There are things to be taught. There are things to catch, to be caught. You can learn it. Follow this. Now look at Gehazi. Bad one. Gehazi is the one that thinks he's smarter than the pastor. They brought the woman, the Naaman, 2 Kings 5, I think, yeah. And Naaman goes healed, and Naaman comes back and says, I've got offerings for you. And Elisha said, no, this is not the time. And then Gehazi says, what's wrong with pastor? He's too rigid. So as the layman is going, sends him a text. Actually, pastor is just texting you. Says you return those things back. Layman knew he was lying. Says, just take it enough. A bad guy. So what cleaved on him was leprosy. He got the wrong stuff. He didn't learn that from his pastor. No, he learned that elsewhere. Bad example. So in John 20:22, this will make sense now. So these folks, are they walk with Jesus? Huh? Come on. You are with him in the meetings, away from the meetings. Notice something about the disciples. They followed Jesus only. Now, what happened? In John 20. 21. As my Father has what? Sent. Even so sent I you. That he breathed on them, which means that they got born again. That's a teaching experience. And he says, receive ye the Spirit. Look at that word receive. Lambano. L-A-M-B-A-N-O. Lambano. Lambano. Receive ye the Spirit. Now, put that aside with Acts 1:8. You shall receive power. Lambano. After which the Holy Ghost has come on you. We're looking at filled with the Spirit. Something filled with the Spirit. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on you. Luke 24:49. You shall be endued with power. What does it mean to receive? Many of us need to learn it. Now I'm going to be teaching you before the camp meeting. Camp meeting is going to be super dose. Holy Ghost moves. Praise the Lord. You know, you need to learn how to receive. There are things you should learn from me. If I go with you for a meeting, I won't talk with you. I don't have that time. I won't listen. Because sometimes the impartations of God come by words. They come by words. 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 You learn to be focused. I shared part of the story at the Open Taster classes. You know, how I went for a meeting. I was just so focused. I got to the grounds and the man gave a prophecy about me. That's not the first, not the second, not the third, not the fourth time. And I'll be the first person. Because before the meetings, I must have fasted. Fasted and prayed. Whatever we're doing today. I went for the Winter Bible Seminar of Kenneth Hagin Ministries. And I began to text the leaders. So this and this is going to happen to us. Because I went for a meeting. There are many things, if you like, go and pray. And use 90 days. It's different. God does not raise people in isolation. That's why he gives us a local church. And how do you receive? Now, listen carefully now. I've used that illustration for you before. Now, there are two words. I think I need to move quickly to that. Look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8 and 14. Say, I know to receive. Say like me, say, I know to receive. Acts 8, 14. Now, it says in verse 14, now, when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They sent unto them Peter and John. They had received the word of God. Let's take 15 together. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Two words are there. The word deikomai. D-E-I-C-H-O-M-A-I. Deikomai. D-E-I-C-H-O-M-A-I. That's verse 14. Verse 15 is the word lambano. L-A-M-B-A-N-O. Now, dekomai means to welcome. Now, listen. Now, before you write anything, just look at, I'm going to use illustrations. To welcome. How many of you have received packages before? Packages? You should have received packages. Anyone. And then they bring it to your house. Then you receive it. Right? Then you sign for it. Then they take it back. You take it from the guy, right? You don't say, hey, go and drop it in my... I get the president. The guy says, what's your name? Then you sign. You receive it. You know, he's the guy that brought it. Even though you took it from him, you played the lesser active role. Right? Am I right? Very good. Now, if they now call you and say, Chago, you have a parcel with us. Come to our office and take it. You do a more active role. You go there. You pick it up. There's more activity. So even though dekomai also involves to take, lambano means to lay hold of. It also means to go after. It's a more active word used by Luke. You shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come on you. So in Acts 8:14, what's going to happen? Verse 16, for as yet it was falling upon none of them. It was falling upon none of them. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. They laid their hands on them. Hands were laid. So hands can be laid and you didn't receive anything. They took a hold of it. They laid hold on it. They went after it. Lambano is an active word. You shall receive power. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Lay hold on it. So, when it comes to receiving, you play a major part, right? Come on. So, when Jesus told them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Let's see. Luke 24:49, you shall be endued. It means to wear. Put it on. Luke 24:49. Put it on. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is coming. So, I need to know. You know, I look at that. Look, remember that illustration? You go to the courier service place to pick up your... Okay, just like when you... No, there are other services like that. When you apply for a visa, your visa is now ready. Come and pick it up. Come and pick it up. But sometimes they can bring it to your house, right? But come and pick it up. Okay, I've had them deliver it to me before. But come and pick up your visa. So you go. Now, how do we go? How? What's the action? Pay attention. Acts 2:1-4. It's practical. Acts 2:1-4. Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Firstly, there's an attitude. There's an attitude. Now what were they doing here? They were praying. How do we know? Acts 1 verse 14. In one accord in prayer. Acts 2:42, they continue steadfastly in prayer. That's after it. Acts 3:1, they went to the same temple in the hour of prayer. So it was their hour of prayer. Did you get it? Did you get it? It was their hour of prayer. So you must have a prayer attitude. Prayer attitude. They are praying. What else did they do? That means their mouth was moving. Is that clear? Come on. So they were There suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared on them clothing as a fire. It sat upon each other. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what? Began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. So, receiving of the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost, one and the same. Talk to me. So one and the same. Very good. Now, it is not an attitude you do in your past. Now I want to talk to you about that. You must maintain a good attitude. A receiving attitude. Particularly to those of us who are preachers. You can have this attitude that you already know. You already know. You know. Did I tell you my bad attitude? I know you will say yes. But I tell you how I used to preach a sermon before a pastor during the week. I told you. It's not a good attitude. You think you already know. Or you get to a meeting. There was a time like that. We had this holy believers meeting. We called it Word on a Mission. Word on a Mission. That was the name of the meeting. July 1998. And myself and my friends were ministering. So this fellow, he just left. He sat down during the teaching. As soon as we got up, and somebody gave a tongue and interpretation, he just walked out. As he was going, my friend, Pastor Dokunido, who is one of the instructors at Rema Bible Church Center, Nigeria, he just walked up to the guy. He said, "Why are you leaving?" The guy said, "Look at how he said, concerning spirituals, I know all these things." That's exactly what he said. So we walked up to him and then we said, "But the Holy Ghost is still there. That means he doesn't know it." Right on the spot, we gave him a word of knowledge. He was sick. He had battled the sickness for years. And then we said, "Open the wounds." He was shocked that we knew. He said, "Can you see? He should not have left." He said, "Go back here." So we now laid hands on him. He now got healed. He was now grateful. Look at the bad attitude. He'll have gone there to doctors, spent his money, treated him for years because of a bad attitude. Someone said, a bad attitude is like a deflated tire. Anywhere you go, you don't move anywhere with it. A bad attitude. When you're in the service, have the attitude to receive. That's why it's good to be part of the prayer meetings before the service. Don't just walk in. Prayer prepares you to receive. What did I say? And don't let your mind be elsewhere. You are here, you are texting a friend. You are here, your mind is somewhere. Like, "Oh, 2:30, 2:30, when is that game?" You are here, you are thinking, "I'm going for a meeting." That cuts you off. You have to watch. You have to learn. You have to listen. In meetings, things drop on people. Positive things. Spiritual realities. So, is this a one-time event? No, it's not. Acts 4:8. Peter was in Acts 2:4, but Acts 4:8. Peter being filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you see it again? Look at Acts 4:8. Acts 4:8. Peter being filled with the Holy Ghost. So that means I can be filled again, right? And again, Peter being filled with the Holy Ghost. Not just that, Acts 4:31. Let's take Acts 4:31 together. And when they had prayed, prayer is there again, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled. Again, filled. Look at Acts 9:17. And Ananias ministered to Paul, Acts 9:17, that he might be filled with the Holy Ghost. That he might be filled with the Holy Ghost. So Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost. But look at Acts 13 verse 9. Come on. Acts 13 verse 9. Let's take it together. Acts 13 9. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, being filled. So being filled with the Holy Ghost, is it a one-time event? Something that can happen over and over and over. Look at Acts 9. Acts 9, verse, look. So Acts 13, pardon me for that. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So I can get filled with the Holy Ghost as many times as possible. Right? An ongoing experience. It's my choice. So I maintain a good attitude. And last week we looked at that word filled. Let me quickly run through it for you. We said it's the word pleres. P-L-E-R-E-S. It means to abound. To abound. It's actually, you know, when we say fill, it means to fill up a cup in Greek language. Fill is actually an outflow. An outflow. Like that song, there's a ceaseless flow of God's Spirit. A flow. So I went through those words last week. Just for the sake of time, let me just go through them again. Matthew 14:20 and Matthew 15:37. Something is covered up. It's what is obvious. When a man is filled, whatever is filled, we can see it. It will abound out. It will come out. Whatever a man is filled with will come out of his mouth, come out of his deeds. Acts 6:3. How did they know that those guys were filled with the Holy Ghost? Because they saw it. Hallelujah. So if you are filled, we'll see it. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, it will be in your actions, your utterances. Acts 6. So look for amongst yourselves. Verse 3. Seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. We see them in diverse ways, ministered by the Spirit, their utterances. They minister the revelation gifts, they minister the power gifts to, the utterance gifts, full of the Holy Ghost. We see it. If you ask in this church, if they want the people who are always full of the Holy Ghost, would they pick you? The things that you are involved in all the time, after the service, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Can anybody say, oh, that sister ministers a lot to me. That brother, by the Spirit of God. Or, ah, that brother can gist. That sister can gist. Be filled with the Spirit is an instruction. And so our kind of attitude matters. We should have friends that when we come in contact with them, we're stirred up to serve God. We're stirred up in the things of God. Those are the kind of friendships you should keep. Not friends that when you are drunk with them, you don't want to serve God again. You see, think about it, though. Think about it. Be wise. Be wise. The wisdom of the serpent. Hallelujah. Something be filled with the Spirit. So when they were going to choose those I'm going to serve, they said, choose men that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. They're going to handle food, but they must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5:18. Are you in church? Are you in church? Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But be filled with the Spirit. So they're filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself. So you give your mouth to the Holy Ghost. Is that clear? You give your mouth to the Holy Ghost. You give your mouth to the Holy Ghost. You give your mouth to the Holy Ghost. Be filled speaking. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ, that word is utterance, dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Colossians 3:16. Speaking. And teaching and admonishing one another, in Psalms hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. A key element of being filled is that you sing psalms. You sing psalms. Say, I sing psalms. I don't think I heard you. I sing psalms. You sing in tongues. Paul says, then I'll pray with the Spirit. I'll pray with the understanding. I'll sing with the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:14-15. I'll sing with the understanding. Just like we did in the earlier service. We sang in tongues, sang in the understanding. Do that consistently. Do that consistently. God will give you a song. God will give you a song. Do it consistently. Regularly. What else comes with it? It says they will see visions. Say, I see visions. Yeah, visions. Revelations. Acts 7:55. Stephen saw visions. Same as Philip. Also miracles. Acts 13:9. Paul. So being filled with the Spirit is an instruction that you must obey in your attitude. So what is the opposite of being filled with the Spirit? What would I be doing? Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. If you use your mouth for nonsense throughout the week, throughout the day, when it's time to bless the church, you struggle. You're going to struggle. Because you have to receive. You have to receive. You're going to struggle. Throughout the week, is movie after movie. You have seen Wakanda. Every latest movie, you have seen it. YouTube, Bluetooth, GTube, RedTube, YellowTube, everything. You're watching it. How will you see visions? You have seen enough television. I'm not joking. Entertainment, if it's not controlled, will hinder the move of the Holy Ghost in a man's life. It would. Almost when I see people, I say, you know, you're serious. You want to keep a spirit-filled life, you are always about movies. You are always about the latest music rave. You are there. You have to watch what you watch. Be filled with the Spirit speaking. Be filled with the Spirit speaking. Speaking. Receive. Lambano. The right attitude. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stand to your feet. Sing a psalm. Sing a psalm. Sing in tongues. Come on. Sing in tongues. Sing in tongues. Sing in tongues. And do this often this week. Sing in tongues. Sing in tongues. Come on. Sing.